Last week, we talked about coming into this new season. And as we start this new season as a church, even as individuals, I believe we need to prepare. Too many times we've gone through life and we just respond to whatever comes our way. And because of that, I think we have not been able to be as effective. We've not been able to receive as much as God wants to give us. I think because of that, many times life is frustrating. I think many times we struggle with pain that God does not want us to struggle with. And most of it is because we don't prepare for it. We don't get ourselves in a position to respond in a way that is powerful and productive and that makes a difference in our life. And so we're looking at two verses that we are focusing on that really speaks into our life in a way that calls us to preparation. I think preparation is the key. We know the great saying that if you fail to prepare, you're really preparing to fail. And that is what we do many times. We wonder why we fail. We wonder why life, it's because we have not gotten ahead of it and began to prepare for those things that we go through. Many times we just leave it up to God. Well, God will see me through it. Well, God will do it. And that is true. God has a plan. But many times the things that we are wanting God to do, He is wanting to do through you. So He is waiting for you to prepare yourself to be His ambassador, to be His answer to the world's problems. We are the gift that God is wanting to flow through to answer many things that we struggle with. And so we need to prepare. There's nothing wrong with preparation is not against faith. Many times we think if we're going to be spiritual and spirit-filled, it's all about, ooh, I'm just going to wait, as if preparing lowers that. They are not opposite. They can work together. We can still be spiritual. We can still be faithful and believe that God is going to move and still prepare and leave room for God to have His sovereign will in our life. So let's turn over to 1 Peter. This is the first verse that we are looking at, because I think in preparing, we need to understand that in this new season, things are not going to be a rose garden. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to be great. In fact, it's on the plan of God purposely for things not to go just exactly how you want. God is not a God who spoils. God is a God who matures us. He is not a God who just gives us everything we want so we're just fat and happy. Because I'm telling you, fat and happy ends up lazy and dead. And God sees more for you than that. And so if we're going to prepare for this, we need to realize that we may be facing a hard time this year. There are going to be trials. There are going to be things that happen, but we need to prepare for them and use them to propel us into all that God has. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 6, he says this, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Now, the rejoicing is that he says that there is a promise laid up for us in heaven, that God has prepared an inheritance for us, and we rejoice in that. We rejoice in our salvation that is waiting for us, but for now, there's some trials we're going to have to go through. As we look around this world, we have a issue there. There we go. For now, as we go through this world, we're going to go through things that are not as easy and what we want. Let me pull this back up again. It says, we go through these various trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, God is more concerned with the precious result of your life, that in you, in your faith, in your connection to Him, that is what is going to enter in to the glory and the honor of existence with God. He's more concerned with that end result than He is for your day-to-day comfort. Those things that are not going to last are not His concern, but He is more focused on the results that comes through our faith. So how do we prepare for these trials, for the season, for the bumps and bruises that come through this year? In Hebrews chapter 12 is our second verse, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and those witnesses are the other people that have gone through the same things. He says, throughout the ages, people that God has called, that have come to know the calling of God, have gone through these same trials, the journey of life that God uses. And because we are surrounded by them, in other words, they have gone before us, but they have passed the baton on to us. We are the now generation, and they are rooting for us. They are watching from heaven. So therefore, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So to prepare for this new season, it gives us an outline in these verses. And we looked at the first last week. Basically, it says three things. If we are to prepare for what God has in store for us, if we are to let this journey make us better rather than destroy us, we need to do these three things. First of all, we need to purge. There are some things in our life we need to get rid of. They are holding us back. If we are going to make it through to the promise of God, there are things we need to lay aside. It said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles us. There's things in our life we need to purge. We need to begin to let go. The reason why many times we fail when trials is because we're holding on to things that sink us, that when we find ourselves in the middle of that flood, we are not able to make it out because we refuse to let go of the very things that pull us under. So we need to be willing to lay aside those things. And we talked about this last week. Are we letting God do a purging, a pruning, a cutting free of things that hold us back? We also need to endure. It says that we need to learn to endure. There is a factor that we need to build up our endurance, and we're going to talk about that today. And then next week, we're going to look at our focus. It says we are to look to Jesus, the perfecter and the author of our faith. So these three things we need to do. We need to purge, we need to endure, and we need to focus. And if we begin to add these steps of preparation in our life, then even when the hurts of life come, when the trials of life come, when those twists and turns come, we are going to be able to respond in a way that grows us rather than in a way that destroys us. Because so many times, and we've seen people that have been hurt, and that hurt just becomes a disease in their heart that just defines them. It becomes something that just consumes them. And those things that go wrong in life, they are meant to prepare us. They are meant to grow us and refine us and purify us. And yet it's because of a lack of preparation that they begin to be the very thing that destroys us. And so we want to prepare so that when we encounter those things, they become something that we can look back on and say, you know, praise God, even through the pain, even through those sorrows, my God is faithful. And so that's what we're looking to do. So today we're looking at the second step in preparation, which is endure. We need to learn to endure. I know many times this is the one that we don't look forward to because endure sounds like something that is just painful, and it is just something that is something we don't want. But I want you to think of the word endure there in a way that it is not just gritting your teeth and just existing. It is not just surviving. Many times we think that man, I just need to survive, that following God is just a survival test. And that is not what following God is about. He does not want us to be people that, praise God, I'm following Jesus, I'm just going to make it to another day. That doesn't encourage anyone to want to know this God of ours. But the endurance that he's talking about is an endurance where it is a strength to be able to perform at a high level no matter what is happening. Because we have built up our endurance, I am able to go through that journey with victory, with strength, with a sense of I can do this. There is a joy that is within us that it does not deny the pain, because yes, it hurts, but it sees so much more than that. So the endurance of God, it is a widening of our perspective. It is seeing so much more than just the pain. You see, the existence perspective only focuses on the pain. All we feel is the pain. And when we follow Jesus and all we see is what I can't do and what God, I don't understand why God didn't do this. And we just get angry at God. You know why? It's because all we're seeing is the pain. We are not opening ourselves up to letting God bring endurance into our life. And that's what preparation. You see, if we just were to go out, and if many of you were to come with me and I would say, come join me, and we're going to go do this marathon. And man, it's a beautiful marathon. A couple years ago, as you know, we went and I did the Seattle Marathon, and it was the most beautiful run that I have ever done. Honestly, it was amazing. It started up in the mountains and 26 miles run down the John Wayne Trail, through a tunnel, through the woods, over big railroad trestles. It was amazing. And so I'd say, come with me. And you might say, oh yeah, I want to experience that. And at first you would say, oh, this is a great run. But very quickly you would say, I'm hurting. It's not worth it, right? Even though it's beautiful, it's not worth it. I can't go anymore. I can't breathe, or my legs are killing me, my side. And why would that happen? Because you didn't prepare yourself. Whereas I'd be saying, come on, I don't understand. What's your problem? It's great. Let's just keep going. There's another view down this. The only reason you can do that is because you have prepared yourself to endure. So even though my endurance is the same as your endurance is focused on pain. And believe me, I've run those races and it still hurts. The pain does not go away, but you have learned to deal with it in a different way because you have prepared yourself for that. And so that is the journey of life with God. Many times because we don't prepare ourselves, you know, we say, oh, I want this journey with God. I want to know the beauty of Christ. What an awesome opportunity that he offers. But the problem is we start down the road with Jesus, and after a little bit, it was like, I don't think it's worth it. Jesus, this is not what, this hurts too much. I mean, yeah, that, those are good words that you say in there, but it's not worth it. And because we have not prepared ourselves, we begin to quit. And even if we keep going, it's not fun. We're grumbling the whole way. We don't like it. Our whole attitude is bad. And so we lose the ability to be what God has desired us to be. So how can we prepare to build our endurance ahead of time? How can we prepare ourselves for the things that are coming before us? The first thing that we have to do in any preparation of endurance is you have to accept the training. You have to accept that learning to endure this life means there's training. You've got to let God train you. You've got to let God come into your life and begin to walk you through a training period. Now, part of this goes what we talked about last week. We got to let God cut some things free. Part of the training thing is learning to sacrifice, is learning that I can't eat this way, and I've got to eat better, and I've got to spend a daily time exercising, and I've got to slowly run a little bit farther every day. I've got to begin to do these things. And so if we're going to prepare for life, if we're going to prepare for what God wants, there is going to be some training. And sometimes we wonder why we can't make it through, but you've never trained. We've not let God come in and make a difference in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says this, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we, an imperishable." In other words, he's saying, if athletes prepare themselves to win the prize, whether it's the Super Bowl or a Grand Slam tournament in tennis or even the finisher's medal, because here's the thing, it's not that just one of us is going to win. We are like those runs that we go to the marathon, and the prize is that medal that they put on a finisher. In fact, it is the finisher's medal. We are all winners if we finish. And so it says we need to do the same thing. Athlete, we need to run in such a way that we win the prize. So we begin to, it says, spend time in self-control. What is it that we need to train? We need to train ourselves in the Word of God. You have got to get into the Word of God. This is like your diet. This is like what we are putting within us. If we are going to respond to the trials of life, we have got to fill ourselves with the Word of God. We have got to let it not just fill our minds, but meditate on it and let it fill our hearts. We need to also not just read it, but we need to put it to the test. We need to walk in it. We need to begin to let God live it out. Jesus said, "He who hears my words but doesn't do it is like a man who builds his house on the sand." You're not really training. You're just reading the manual. You're just reading what it says. Okay, you need to do so many reps of this. Oh, that's good. Okay, I did that. But if you don't actually do it, then you haven't trained yourself. So not only do we need to read the Word, but we need to practice the Word. That means read a scripture every night and then maybe say tomorrow, okay, how can I practice that tomorrow? How can I put that into my life? And as you begin to train, I'm telling you, this becomes real to you. It becomes something that fills your heart. The people that get mad at God, the people that are disappointed in God, it's because they have not let the Word of God reveal the full character of God. Because God never promised that everything's going to go right. God never promised you're going to get everything that you want. But he promised that you're going to get everything that is best for you. And the more we begin to put God into our life, we begin to see that he will prove himself. And we begin to build up our endurance because God is faithful. Not only do we train ourselves in the Word, but we train ourselves in his presence. That means we spend time in prayer and in meditation, and we let the Holy Spirit fill our hearts. You know, people that say, how can there be any God? Look at all the suffering in the world, and look at all these things that are wrong, and look what's going on in my life. How can there be God? Okay, well, then if there's no God, let's eliminate God, like you said. You're still in the same place. You're still suffering. So then what is there? Just yourself? And people will spend time, I'm going to just center my mind. I'm just going to find that. Well, and then what's going to be the result of that? God does not promise that everything's going to go right, but he gives us the choice and the way to prepare ourselves, to train ourselves with the knowledge that there is a reason for that pain. You see, without God, there's just no reason. Then you're just suffering because you're suffering. God gives us the reason. There, it is because God's there. Yeah, you still may not be happy with that result, but God says there's a purpose for it. Many times we want to get rid of God because we're tired of the guilt or the shame or someone looking over me or I can't live my life my way. But you have missed what he wants to do in your life. It's not that he's trying to control you. It is, I thank God for my life that even in the times of sorrow and even in the times that he disciplines me and doesn't give me what I want, that at least there's a purpose to it, because without him, then I am on my own. There is no purpose for the pain that I go through. And how deep is that despair? But at least God is the one who is the good father who is walking me through this. And so I train myself to hear his voice. I train myself that even in the midst of the sorrow and the struggles, that I take hold of his presence. And so we spend time in prayer. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes, it's not easy until we grow ourselves in it and train ourselves in it. And so we've got to, if we're going to learn to endure, we've got to train ourselves in the Word and in his presence. And the third thing is in his family. It is when we come together that we practice enduring. Because I'm telling you, even though we may be annoyed with one another, and every now and then, you know, we hurt one another, but it is only as we grow together as a team that we learn to endure. We are only going to succeed as the bride of Christ together, and we have to learn that. You see, without that, if we isolate from one another, we never learn endurance. We never learn the endurance of hurt. We never learn the endurance of leaning on one another. It is only as we walk this journey together that we train together. God is able to speak through one another into our life, sometimes in critical ways, sometimes in hard ways. It's like being sanded. We don't like to be sanded. It's rough. It's abrasive. And sometimes that's what we are called to be together, not purposely, but it says that it says good friends and people are like iron sharpening iron. As we learn to love the unlovely, as we learn to love even our enemies, it is in that training that we build up endurance. As we do all those three things, we are trained to endure. Well, the second thing we have to learn is not only accept the training, but you've got to come to a point that you accept the pain. There is going to be pain. If we just try and eliminate pain, you're never going to endure. You will never build endurance without pain. And I think this is what the goal of even this life is. And I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but it's not going to just be sitting around cushy, easy either. So there is a purpose for learning endurance. Who knows what it is? Many people think that this is the only time we're going to endure, and then once we die or go in the rapture, then everything is going to be easy. Now, we know that everything is going to be glorious. Everything, God's going to wipe away every tear and every sorrow. But I think there's a reason that we are going to be prepared for eternity because of the endurance that we learned in this life. And so we've got to accept that there's going to be pain. Yesterday morning, I just ran the 10K New Year's run in Yuma. And even before I got up, I'm like, there is going to be pain in this. It's going to be early. It's going to be cold. But you know what? There's a reason why we do it. There is a reason. There's goals that we're looking forward to. I know many people have different. You might say, I don't know why you would want to do that. And sometimes I ask myself that too. Why am I doing this? But we accept the pain because of what it is producing within us. And as we accept the pain, and it doesn't mean you have to like it. I'm not saying that we have to become people who just love the pain or cause the pain. It's about accepting whatever pain comes, that if pain comes, I'm not surprised by it. See, that's the problem. Many of us, relationships are broken up, and we cannot talk to people because I can't believe what they did to me. You know what? Because did you not expect that? With every single person, you do realize there's not one person in your life that is not going to hurt you at some point in time. They're not going to say, they're all going to say something. They're all going, so why should we be surprised at that? The reason why our life is filled with broken relationships and struggles is because we've not been willing to accept the pain. We didn't prepare ourselves that there is going to be pain. We have to understand that. In James, this is what it says. Chapter 1, starting verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. It doesn't say just exist and survive, but count it joy. Now you say, that is crazy. But if you're expecting it and you know what the purpose is, that it's going to grow me, I'm going to go through this, I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow even with the other person, I can count it joy. And here's why. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That steadfastness is endurance. It will produce endurance in our life. And let that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see, when we build up endurance, God makes us strong. God makes us come to a point that we realize that life is more full, that it is more meaningful to us, but it's because we've learned to endure through the hardship, through the pain, because I haven't gotten everything I want. We begin to grow in that. First Peter says it this way, chapter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. See, many times when someone hurts us, we're like, oh my goodness, why did this happen? Or when things don't go wrong in life, when things go wrong on the job, or when we don't get what we wanted, and I thought my life would be this way. Don't be so surprised that your life did not end up what you wanted it to be. In fact, begin to accept that. Embrace the fact that my life is not, instead of living with regrets, I wish I'd like to go back and change everything. No. Understand that God had a purpose in this, and he still is not done with you. And it says that the God who loved you is not finished doing what he first started in you. So instead of just being focused on the now of what I didn't get, begin to let God fill your heart with the expectation of what he was preparing for you. You see, when you're not surprised, you can rejoice. And he says, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. You see, there's glory coming that this pain is preparing you for. We need to begin to simply accept the fact that life is going to be painful, but it is preparing us for some great glory that God wants to do in us. Not only do we need to accept the pain, here's a hard one. Sometimes, okay, I can accept the pain. I realize things can be hard, but you have to also accept the course. Remember our verse said, it said we need to run with endurance the course set before you. Ooh, now here's the problem. I'll accept the pain, but I will run my course. God says you need to accept the pain, but you need to also accept the fact that it's the course that God has decided for you. And your course may not be the course you wanted to run. Maybe you say, oh, I want to run that Seattle marathon. I want to run, and yet God has called us to run the desert marathon. In a couple weeks, the Yuma territorial marathon. It's not a pretty run. I've run that one too. And you start at Kokopan, run down through Summerton and back. And it's like, yeah, no, not exciting at all. But it says, run with endurance the course set before you. I'm telling you, there's a prize for you that God has specially for you. I don't know why God chooses the course that you're on, but you need to understand that God knows why, and God loves you. In fact, here's the great verse that he says in Jeremiah 29:11. We know this. God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Are you willing to trust that God knows his plans for you? See, the problem is that's why we don't like God. Yeah, I trust he has his plans. I don't like his plans. But if we will endure, if we will learn to embrace that and say, God, you have put me on this course. I'm going to accept this course. When you accept the course that God has, I'm telling you, he begins to open your eyes. There's going to be more blessing that he can pour in when you accept the course. As long as we don't accept the course and we fight against it, I'm going to tell you, your life is never going to realize the joy of what life is. Because God knows his purpose. He has a plan for you, and you've got to trust it. In Romans 8 says this, and we know this verse, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I have to trust God that, God, you're making everything work for good. I don't know why this happened. I always envision my life this way, and I would be much more happier than this. Other people get to do this. Why not me? Because God has something better for you. Everything is working out for your good. And I know sometimes that's hard to accept, but this is where endurance comes in. If you will just endure and accept that and let him open up your vision, you will see things in your life that other people don't see. Many times the blessings that others have are limiting them, and yet we are able to see what God has for us. 1 Peter 4 says this, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. Are you willing to entrust your soul to a God who is faithful? Are you willing to accept the course that God has for you and say, God, I don't know why this is happening, but I entrust it to you, and I'm just going to see the joy of life. I'm going to live life, and I'm going to let your presence be my endurance. The final thing, and this isn't too hard. To endure means to accept the reward. Not only do we accept the training, okay, we accept the pain, I accept the course, but here's what really builds endurance: accepting the reward. It's hard to endure if you don't have your eyes set on the reason why you're doing it. If there's no reward, then I agree with you. Don't follow Christ. If you don't understand the absolute glory of what he promises, then this Christian walk is going to be frustrating. It's going to be a pain. In fact, it's useless if you don't see the reward. But God has put before us a reward, and it's a reward that the world doesn't offer. See, we get our eyes on the reward that the world offers, and the world only offers temporary rewards for right now. I promise you, you will feel good tonight. But it doesn't tell you tomorrow you're going to pay for it. And sometimes for the rest of your life, you're going to pay for it. You're young, you're going to enjoy all your youth and do this. Oh yeah, but then for the rest of your life, your body's going to be destroyed. And you're going to wish you never had done that. But God says, if you will keep the eyes on my prize and endure, you will never regret it. Because he offers us an eternal prize. It is a reward that will never be taken away from us. He tells us this, for the moment, in Hebrews 12:11, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You see, there's a fruit coming in your life that maybe you don't understand, but I'm going to just ask you to trust God that it is a sweet fruit that you will look back and say, I thank God for all the trials. I thank God he didn't give me what I wanted at that time, because it has brought within you a fruit and a reward that will fill you to overflowing. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies who dwells in you. You see, if he brought Jesus through the suffering of death and raised him up, the suffering that you're going through is not going to be forever. You can look forward to that. He will also raise you up to great glory. So even though things are not the way you want it, in fact, you hate your life maybe right now, but if you will look to the reward and accept that God is going to do something greater, then I can say, Jesus, if you went to the cross, I can go through my life. And he ends with this statement in Romans 8. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy of being compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. If you will learn to endure, if you will let God build you within you an enduring spirit, a preparation that before you even hit the bumps, you're ready for them, then it says that the things that you go through will not compare to the glory that he has for you. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't give in to those thoughts that say, just give up, it hurts too bad. Just get mad at God, just do it, it's not worth it. Because I'm telling you, the only way you forfeit your reward is by quitting, by giving up. Instead, let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. Because in the end, there is glory, there is the presence of God, there is what we were made for. Because here's the real thing that we've got to confront ourselves with. This life is not the totality of reality. There is a time we're going to stand before God, and there is going to be one of two places that our soul and our spirit are going to exist for eternity with. And it is only through Christ and through God that we are going to enter into life. Everything else leads to separation and death and sorrow and pain and suffering. And I know some people say, well, I don't want to believe in hell. I'm going to choose not to believe. I'm glad you can choose not to believe it, but it doesn't answer the fact that we are eternal beings created by God in his image, and the only choice to enter into that purpose of what we were created is through God and his presence. So let's learn to endure and keep our eye on the prize, that there is joy in the race, that even while I am hurting, I can count it joy because I am growing in God. I am learning about God. I am getting closer to that prize that God has for me. But we've got to prepare ourselves in endurance of this life.